Well, on this Christmas Eve, it's time again for another edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by our friends at Van Deest Medical Center, where our focus is you. Being joined today with Roy Foster and some great friends here at the radio station on this day before Christmas. Roy Foster, a very good day to you.
Merry Christmas Eve to you, Pat.
Merry Christmas to you too, Lori.
How are you doing?
Well, gaining.
Gaining, so, I hope so.
I think a lot of people have this, but I'm overcoming it just a tad from what I had earlier this week. So we're gaining. We're gaining. A little bit of this stuff in my mouth, so we'll get by.
Okay, well, we'll do the talking for the program. We'll save your voice.
We'll leave it at that. So, again, we're talking about some Christmas safety with some good friends today, but we have a lot of great things going on at Van Deest Medical Center, don't we?
We do. I have a couple of announcements I'd like to share with our listeners this morning. The Van Deest Medical Center Foundation's 2025-2026 annual giving campaign is officially underway. And this year, we're proud to focus efforts on our new orthopedic service line. Your generosity will help expand services, enhance patient care, and support the advanced orthopedic resources our community deserves. The easiest way to contribute is to go online to our website, vandeestmc.org/donate, and you can make a contribution directly to the campaign. We certainly appreciate all contributions. We hope you'll consider a donation. Every gift, no matter the size, makes a meaningful difference. We want to thank you for supporting our mission and helping us continue to provide exceptional care close to home. And with that, I do want to mention, as I've shared on previous programs, we do have a new general orthopedic surgeon starting January 5th. Dr. Samasetti is coming, and he is going to be doing, as a general orthopedic surgeon, all things. He will do knees, hips, he will do shoulders, hands, and be doing joint replacement surgeries in our hospital, as well as arthroscopic procedures and surgeries. So we are thrilled to welcome Dr. Samasetti, and he will be with us full time, and I do look forward to having him on a program in January. And then just a couple of holiday announcements. The Webster City Clinic will be closing at 1 o'clock today. We'll reopen after Christmas on the 26th. And the same will be true next week. The Webster City Clinic will close at 1 o'clock on New Year's Eve and reopen again on the 2nd. And with that, I'm keeping my announcements very short and sweet.
Because we have some very good friends of ours here today there, Lori.
That's
and
right.
Of course, Van Deest Medical Center's emergency room, it does not take a holiday or a vacation because they'll be open through tomorrow, Christmas Day, usually 24/7. Though, because there's a medical emergency, just stop by the ER at Van Deest Medical Center.
That is right. Of course, we would want to remind our listeners that the emergency department will be staffed 24/7.
Yep.
We have several departments that are going to be staffed 24/7. If someone does have an emergency, make sure that you don't waste time, call 911 and
right.
Come out and see us.
Very good.
Yes, I do. We have some very special guests in the studio with us today. I feel very well protected here.
So do I.
Yes, we're secure here, Pat. As we know, the holiday season is here. This means more traffic, more celebrations, and unfortunately, more risks on the road.
Right.
So joining us today, we have Sheriff Alex Prusman from the Hamilton County Sheriff's Department, and Chief of Police Steve Hansen from the Webster City Police Department to talk about holiday driving safety and what we can all do to get to where we're going safely.
Very good.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here on the show today. It's a perfect time to be talking about it with Christmas right here. A lot of people, of course, have travel plans starting today. Why is the holiday season such a critical time to be talking about traffic safety?
Well, during the holiday, there's just a lot of increased traffic. People heading, traveling to the airport, traveling by car, going to families, and then everyone feels rushed, it seems like. So with the increased traffic, there just becomes more risk for traffic incidents.
Yeah, I concur with Steve on that one. It's just the increased traffic really makes our jobs busier, on a time of, in the time when we really kind of don't want it to be busy. We want people just to be safe, get to their family reunions, get to their family gatherings safely and enjoy themselves. But with the increased traffic, it does bring more risks.
Most definitely it does. From a local law enforcement standpoint, Steve, what do you see? What are the most common issues that you see during the holidays and on the roads?
So during the holidays, Christmas specifically, the unpredictable weather sometimes can play in, play a fact into it. The other morning, you know, it was gorgeous out the day before, and then when I was out driving around in the morning, the roads were slick. Nobody's seen it coming. So the unpredictable weather could be problems. And like we've already said, the increased traffic. I mean, when you have increased traffic, people being in a rush, in a hurry, and, you know, it just can lead to congestions and traffic accidents sometimes.
I agree. And I think as people come into town and aren't familiar with Webster City, the streets, the intersections, the one-ways, a lot of times I'll notice I'll be behind someone and I see that their license plate, they're from a different county. And so it people just need to take that into consideration, allow a little extra time. You know, even when you're just going to run an errand, because we do have new faces, new people in our community. So,
yeah, absolutely. Being located right on Highway 20, especially on the south end of town, you know, with the amount of travelers that come in off the highway to go to McDonald's or Quick Star or buzz into town to go to Casey's or whatever, you see a lot of out-of-town plates, and you already kind of hit the nail on the head. They're not familiar with the area, and then combine that with someone local who might be in a rush or whatever. Just the increased travel is probably the biggest problem.
For sure. Alex, how about you? How does holiday travel impact those rural roads and the highways?
Well, a lot of the same. It's the increased traffic really puts a bottleneck essentially on Interstate 35 and Highway 20 because people are in a rush. They want to get to where they're going fast. Which brings up more accidents, more people who sometimes get lost, take the wrong exit, then they go on a gravel road, then they get completely lost, and then we get the call that's like, I don't know where I'm at. So we got to go help them get fixed. And then if you happen to put in bad weather on top of that, people get lost, get stranded, and then they don't know where they're at. They don't know what they can do. Most of the time, unfortunately, people these days are not prepared for an event, a weather event that may happen, or going into the ditch or the median, or a pop-up storm like we had the other day where it came out of it could be clear 1 mile, then the next mile it's completely whiteout conditions. So that's Iowa for you. That's the craziest weather day I've seen in a long time. And then like Steve said, then you bring people in that aren't familiar with their area and they get really lost. And so it's just the increased traffic is the biggest problem for us.
So true. And we are going to be talking about winter weather. But you're right, Alex. Oh, my gosh. Last week, that was the craziest day. Nobody's phones predicted it. No weather forecasters really predicted it. And it was such a crazy day.
It was crazy. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It was just nuts that people had never. I mean, I had a picture sent to me from down south of by Ellsworth that it was completely white out. You couldn't even see the dash of your car. And then where I was at in Blairsburg, it was clear as day. I could see the sun. It was good to go. It was crazy.
We were doing the same at the hospital. We were seeing things on, you know, the news on Facebook. And yet, you know, when you're in Webster City and we'd look out the windows and, you know, do we need to be sending people home? But it looks fine. So, yes.
Yeah.
And we do need to. It's weather in Iowa. So
yes.
Prepare for that. So are there certain days or times that either of you noticed that tend to be more dangerous?
I always say the day after Christmas is worse for me. I've always noticed that. The Christmas day itself is usually pretty calm. I hate to say that word now because it'll be different.
Ooh,
now.
Knock on wood.
But because people are in their homes or enjoying their families, they're eating, taking naps, watching TV programs, whatever it may be. But the day after is usually a pretty big day for going back home or events may happen where they have other things planned or something like that. But so the day after or the weekend after is where I usually see a pickup in calls and incidences.
Very good. Let's talk about impaired driving. This is always a concern during the holidays. What message do you want listeners to hear?
If they stop listening to anything after this, if you are impaired at all, get a driver or stay put. We're not here to wreck your holidays. We're not here to wreck your pocketbook. We're here to make sure people are safe. If you have indulged in adult beverages or anything that may impair you in any way, shape, or form, have a plan that you don't have to be the one driving, okay? Or stay, or have a plan where you can stay somewhere. That's all I ask. Just, and please just listen. Don't go out. Don't risk it. If you feel anything at all, stay put or get a driver. If, yeah.
Common sense. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I disagree with the sheriff. I mean, just make a, have a plan. If you're going to do something, have a plan to get home safely. And Alex pretty much hit all the points.
Mm-hmm. So a question would be, what if someone's out driving and they suspect another driver or vehicle is impaired? You know, they think someone is impaired on the road. And I have seen this before. What should they do?
The quickest thing you do is call 911.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on where you're at in the county, you could get a different county's 911 dispatch center, but they'll be able to transfer you to the correct one. Make sure you get a vehicle description, license plate, because sometimes people give license plates, but they're not quite right. So we get a different car, then we don't get it right. So we want the license plate and the car description so we can kind of match it up to make sure we have the right vehicle. And then tell us what they're doing that made you want them to call, whether they're going in between lanes or unfortunately slowing up, speeding up, or whatever it may be. Be as descriptive as possible to our dispatchers, because then they'll give those calls to the officers or the deputies depending on where the car's at.
Yeah, and keep your distance. Keep your distance. Don't try and chase that person down. If they are impaired, their reaction time is much different than yours. And the last thing we want, you're doing the right thing or think you're doing the right thing and getting close to try and get that license plate, because some license plates are really hard to read and you've got to get pretty close. But just location, direction of travel, description of the vehicle, and then just keep your distance. And of course, make sure a seatbelt is the best thing, you know, against other drivers. That's what's going to keep you safe. So,
great tips. And gosh, I appreciate the work that the two of you and your teams do. I will have to say, earlier this, I guess it would have been late fall, winter, I was south of Des Moines traveling. And sure enough, I mean, I was on a two-lane highway, and someone came up beside me and was everywhere but on the road.
Yeah.
And it scared me, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I just slowed down. I'm like, I don't want to be anywhere near that person. But I did fear for other drivers, and before I knew it, just seconds later, going right past me, you know, was law enforcement and put their lights on. And I was so thankful. And they had them pulled over right as I,
yeah,
you know,
exactly
was so, getting close. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I was very appreciative.
And to go along with that, what's even worse nowadays or equally just as bad as distracted driving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard sometimes to decipher whether you have a distracted driver or you have an impaired driver. I mean, sometimes you'll hear the calls come in at early morning hours and it comes out as impaired, but more than likely it's distracted. You know, somebody on their phone, somebody not familiar with the area. I mean, we all see it driving down the highway, people doing things they shouldn't be doing driving, and distracted driving is, I don't want to say worse than impaired, but it's just as bad.
So. It's on par because the outcomes can be the same. Whether you're impaired, unfortunately impaired, or looking at your phone, looking down, it can cause the same accident. So let's like Steve said, we gotta be wary of both things.
And I appreciate you mentioning that because I did want to touch on that for sure, because we do see distractions. I mean, not just during the holidays, but that is a year-round issue. When you're driving, you can see other drivers that are on their phones, not paying attention, which is a little scary as a driver. And so we just want to give, again, those reminders to our drivers out there. We know, too, that there's aggressive driving. Emotions can be high during the holidays, but also year-round. What's your best advice?
I'm going to go with kind of your story, Lori, about if you see something like that, give yourself distance. Get away from somebody that if you think somebody has a road rage incident or they're impaired or distracted or they're just upset for some reason, just get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
You have a car, either speed up to get away from them, slow down, do it safely, but then call 911 too. If you think someone's in trouble or they're going to cause an accident, that's when you go back to call 911, and give as much detail as you can to help get that person off the roadway or figure out what's going on. Because they could be going through a medical emergency. We've had that before where someone's having a diabetic issue where they just, they don't know how to act anymore. They can't do it.
Right.
And we've had that happen before. So just be wary of your surroundings and don't be afraid to call 911 because that's what we're here for.
Very good. So does that also hold true when you've got people that are in a real fast hurry and are just flying? You know, they come up and they'll tailgate and then just fly by you. Do you get calls? I mean, other drivers call in because somebody's just going 90 miles an hour?
Yes, we get calls like that daily.
I bet.
Yes, and I don't know if Steve will agree or not, but the holidays, while it's different for most people, the calls that we get are the same. They're just more of them. Mm. There's just a lot more of them because there's a lot more people on the roadways. The distracted driving, the tailgating calls, the cars going 100 miles an hour. We get those pretty frequently already. It's just the frequency of them ticks up during Christmas, mm-hmm. New Year's, Thanksgiving, those types of holidays. So it's nothing new for us. We just have to handle the workload.
Yeah, everybody's running late, it seems like. So just take your time.
So true. Time is a commodity, a pretty hot commodity. So we are encouraging people to plan ahead, allow for extra time. Because you don't know what you're going to face when you head out, and especially if you're leaving town, what you might run into. So do your best to anticipate. We, of course, want to talk about winter weather. Now, I'm happy that we are in a thaw period right now.
Yes,
very
we are.
Thrilled with that, which does add a little risk, too. As Steve mentioned, you know, mornings where, you know, we've had some thaw and then it gets cold overnight again.
Right.
And then first thing in the morning, you got to be careful. It can be slick out there. But we've definitely had our fair share of snow and cold weather. Let's talk about some key safety tips for driving in the snow and ice.
The first one I want to say is automatic headlights are great, but make sure they get turned on in the winter weather. Whether you have to go turn it from auto to just you manually turning it on, make sure your headlights are on. That we have to be able to see you to help you. And then also other drivers have to be able to see you so they don't hit you.
Right.
Okay. Headlights are a big thing that people just take for granted that automatic means, oh, they're going to turn on no matter what. Well, that's not true. They will not turn on sometimes in the snow. And let's say you have a white vehicle and with no headlights on, it's almost impossible to see you. Drive slow. No cruise control in any winter weather or any weather adverse weather at all. Don't use cruise control. Drive at the speed that you feel most comfortable. That does not mean you have to drive the speed limit, because if you're more comfortable at 50 versus 55, mm-hmm. that's fine. But if you get below a certain speed limit, maybe turn your flashers on so people know that you're going substantially slower. For me, that's where I'm going to go. Yeah. Steve?
Yeah. Sheriff pretty much said everything. You know, drive within your ability and your experience. Your headlights, that's a big one. There's a lot of times in the mornings, you know, when it's just a little overcast, it's not quite dark out yet, and it's not quite sunny yet, mm-hmm. and the automatic headlights just don't work. That's a huge one. And if something happens, do your best to get as far off the road as you can. The other afternoon when the county was dealing with that whiteout conditions, mm-hmm. I wasn't out there, but I was listening to it, and it sounds like people were just stopped in the middle of the road, and that makes me super nervous because you just don't know who's coming up behind
you.
Yes. And they did. They would just stop. I would rather come get you out of the ditch later. If you have to put it in the ditch because it's whiteout conditions, do it, because I'd rather that than have you be on the roadway, because we are a big throwaway for semis and hog haulers and all this stuff. And they're not going to stop in the middle of the roadway. They're going to keep going until they can't anymore. And I don't want that to happen.
Right.
So like Steve said, don't be on the road. Don't stop on the roadway if you can help it.
And as a driver, I would much rather be on the side and not be in the middle of the road because you don't know what's going to come up behind you.
Yeah.
You know, when you get on the big roads, the interstates and Highway 20s, you know, sometimes the secondary accident can sometimes be worse than what caused the traffic backup to begin with. You know, somebody coming through and you see videos of it all the time where traffic's moving slow and somebody wasn't paying attention and didn't get slowed down. And, you know, trooper cars or deputy cars get hit. And So, yeah, just if traffic stopped, you know, make sure your four ways are on. Make sure you're paying attention. Leave yourself some room. Mm-hmm. That's something I've always done. You know, if traffic has stopped, I'm not right up on the bumper of the next person. I leave myself about 10 feet. Leave myself some room in case I see something coming behind me and I need to take evasive action. So,
yeah,
that's a very good point the chief made of giving yourself space mm-hmm. to react to somebody else's actions.
For sure.
Because unfortunately, we have to be thinking about other people as well as ourselves out of the roadway to be safe. And that's just how it is nowadays.
And that's typically why I don't even want to go out if we're having inclement weather, because I'm more worried about the other people than I am about me. Well, I don't like to drive in it either.
I love that concept. Yeah. It's bad weather, don't drive. I wish more people would listen to that. Yes.
Yes. So I know that we've shared this before, but just good reminders. What do you recommend that people keep in their vehicles during winter months?
I always tell... at least keep half tank of gas in your car. Don't let it go below half tank, just in case you do get stuck and no one can get to you. You want to be able to keep that heat on. On the same aspect, keep some sort of instrument where you could shovel, because you don't want your exhaust covered up if you are in the ditch, because that could be dangerous as well. And then have a bag of some sort with food, water, blankets, boots, like snow boots, overalls, stuff like that, just in case you have to be there a while. Because mm-hmm. there's been some storms where people have to be in their cars for 6-8 hours just waiting it out. And that's essentially what you would take to a hotel, mm-hmm. but just do it in your car, and if you're going to have to stay in your car overnight.
Mm-hmm. Good tip.
Chief?
Yeah, everything that the sheriff already said, maybe add a phone charger in case you are stuck there for a while, so mm-hmm. you can keep in touch with loved ones or law enforcement to see where you are and that you're okay, digging out the tailpipe, things like that. So the best thing is, I mean, sometimes it comes up unexpectedly, but most of the time with technology, we know what's coming.
Yes.
We know the storm's coming. We know the snow's coming. We know the bad weather's coming. And just do a better job of heeding the warnings and not going out and about.
I would agree. And kudos, because I know, Alex, I'm looking at you. You and your team have been using social media a lot when we have some winter weather coming at us, and just getting the word out. And again, you know, recommending that people do not travel.
And I do want to understand that some people have to go to work. I get that.
Yes.
But then plan ahead. If you think you're going to have to stay, like the great Pat Powers does, he stays here at the station sometimes if he's going to get bad weather.
It was nice to not to worry about it last weekend.
Yes, but
no snow.
Do that sometimes if you have to stay in town. I'm sure Pat wouldn't mind a roommate every once in a while.
Yeah.
But do that or tell your employer, hey, I can't, maybe work something out where you work a different day, work a different shift, something like that. But don't do nothing. Try to work something out. Try to plan ahead. Try to do something for your safety.
Very good. So if somebody does get stranded, they slide off the road, that's a time where emotions would be high. What should they do? What's the first thing they should do?
In the county, I would say a little different than in the city. So I'll start with in the county, then I'll let Chief do the city. Call 911. Our tow truck operators in this county are wonderful. And unless there's a tow ban, they will try to come get you. Or they're told by us, by law enforcement, to not come out.
Mm-hmm.
They will try. Make sure you have that kit ready, have your phone charger, have your phone call, let people know that you're safe, get off the roadway. If for some reason that you're in Interstate 35 is a good example. If you hit those cable barriers southbound, you could still technically be in the roadway in the cable barriers if your car's sticking out. Try to get off the roadway because you don't want to cause that secondary accident. Be as detailed as possible where you're at. Call 911 because that way we can locate where you're at. Easier than if you called just the normal sheriff's office line. We can pinpoint exactly kind of where you're at, and we can send cars there as quick as possible. And I understand it's probably nerve-wracking, but you have to try to be calm.
Right.
And just make sure you're okay, and then go about what you need to do. And then our dispatchers are great, too. They've been through it. They know what to say and do to help you get through it and what to do the next step. But like I said, the city's different, so I'll let Chief...
Yes. Yeah, getting stranded in the city is not nearly as dangerous as getting stranded on I-35. The big thing I would ask is if you do get stuck on a side road or even a main road anywhere, if you get stuck and you're in the traffic way, give us a call, let us know. we'll get somebody out there, get the area lit up, and try and keep you safe while you dig out, wait for a tow truck, help push you out, whatever. The biggest thing is do not abandon your vehicle. There's nothing worse than showing up to a car that's stuck in the middle of the road and there's nobody around. You know, we don't know, did they walk for help? Has it been there for an hour? Has it been there for 5 minutes? Just communicate. Communicate with us. Call into the sheriff's office, our dispatch, and just let us know what's going on. And we'll get somebody out there and we'll help any way we can, because we want to get the roadway opened up as quickly as possible, especially if you're on Superior Street or Second Street. You know, our busier, heavier traveled streets, we don't want somebody stuck there and cause an accident that's not necessary.
Right. Great tips from both of you. Thank you so much. If there's one thing you would share with listeners as a takeaway, what would it be to close out the program?
Just take your time. Be patient. Take your time. Being in a rush never works out. I would guess that most of the accidents that happen, somebody was in a hurry. And drive within your ability when it comes to winter weather. Drive within your ability, which is different for everybody. Have a plan and just take your time.
And I will add to Chief's suggestions and just say, listen to the weather forecast. Heed the warnings. Change your plans if you have to. But if winter weather or bad weather is coming where the roads are going to be affected, find an alternative way to do things. Don't go out if you don't have to.
Yep. Great information. Great tips. I want to thank you both, Steve and Alex, for being on the program today. Also, everything you do for our communities to keep us safe. Extend that to your teams as well. I can say on behalf of the hospital, we work very closely with local and county law enforcement, and we certainly appreciate the support we get and the partnerships we have. So thank you for all that you do.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for all you guys do.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
From all of us here, drive safely out there, look out for one another, and we want to wish you a happy and safe holiday season.
Indeed, and stay safe, Hamilton County.
That's right.
Quoting the words from Alex here, standing right beside me. So.
Yes.
So we're off next week, but then we'll have a new show coming up after the first of the year.
In 2026, we'll be back.
Back in 2 weeks.
Yes.
All right. Sounds good. Alex and Steve and Lori, thank you very much, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Merry Christmas to
everyone. That does it for Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you.
If you're a woman, talk to your doctor by age 25 about your risk of getting breast cancer. More women under 40 are getting breast cancer, and these cancers are often more deadly. The American College of Radiology recommends you ask your doctor if you should get a mammogram before age 40, need other tests like an MRI with your yearly mammogram, or if at high risk should be checked more than once a year. For more information, visit mammographysaveslives.org.
Now this Wednesday News update from KQWC and the KZWC Radio, I'm Pat Powers.